Hey, welcome to the Sports Reverends Podcast. My name is Dan. I'm joined with the team, Drew Martin, Joel Chandran, the coach. How are you guys doing?
Who do you want to go first?
Good. I'm doing good. Finally starting to feel like spring after the storm of the century, apparently.
Now you just got flooding.
Yeah, now we just have to deal with flooding. Maybe we'll get summer, maybe not. Who knows?
How about you, coach?
I'm good. It's double digits over here in Toronto. The Raptors are playing. Still hope is alive. I'm not missing any sort of snow right now from Winnipeg.
Well, just a little bit. Just a little bit about these guys. Well, my name's Dan. I'm a pastor down in downtown Toronto. Drew's pastor in Selkirk. Joel's our analytics guy, also the coach who's coached us all. And I dug up some nicknames on these guys that they may not remember. All right, I had to ask coach about Drew's nickname. We'll start with him. They used to call Drew Donuts, and I didn't understand that for the longest time because Drew is this little rail of a boy in grades 9 through 12 and like super fast, and that's because he worked at Tim Hortons. And I'm pretty sure I called you white chocolate for the longest time. So there's that. My favorite one was Joel's. We called him Coach. His given name was Shandy, which kind of sounds like a female name. I just pointed that one out.
Wow.
But my favorite one was that I heard was Encyclopedia Brown. And that's usually a compliment for someone who's smart, and I think that was partially why they called him Encyclopedia Brown, but I'm pretty sure there's a meaning behind that one.
That's dipping deep in the well.
And the last one I got, I got reminded by this week, was for myself. I was in a tournament down in Grand Forks, and this actually happened twice, but down in Grand Forks we had an announcer who called me Downtown Brown. And because I was hitting threes from downtown, but now that just reminds me of Brampton. So all these nicknames have not survived very well. With Brown that Town. Being said, what was that, Drew?
And Browntown.
And Browntown. Yeah, Browntown was my classic one for sure. But that's also Brampton, so or Bremladesh, as they call it. But that's not me. I don't live there. Joel's closer to there than me, actually. So. Coach, why don't you give us the rundown of the show? Let's go.
All right. Glad to be back. We got some baseball, some hockey, NBA playoffs for sure. Lots of things going on in just the regular sports world. We're going to do birdie versus bogey and then wrap it up with some personal anecdotes about sports and our faith. Sports. Let's get rolling.
Right, let's go. It starts with commercial.
Is it me?
That's you, Drew.
That's you.
I'm trying to find it on. Oh, yeah, there it is. Commercial, One Bone. All right, One Bone. We love One Bone. If you need comfortable shirts, if you're a bigger dude and have a hard time finding shirts that fit you properly, go check out One Bone. They fit completely different than any other shirt you'll ever try on. Makes you feel comfortable, makes you want to wear them every day, makes you want to go buy more. Check them out, One Bone, and use the promo code SPORTSREVS15 for 15% off. You look good, you'll feel good, and you get to save some money.
Woo.
Good things all around.
Money.
Three for three, I like it.
Okay, coach, go.
All right, let's talk about our hometown Jays.
Yeah.
I mean, top of the AL. We kind of saw it coming.
Yeah.
I don't think, to be honest, I didn't believe it. I was like, you know, skeptical about it, but I love the way they look. Drew, how do you feel about Ross Stripling?
I think he's done a good job filling in for now. Like, we've needed him for now with Ryu out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's not a 6-7 inning guy, but if our other four guys in the rotation can consistently give us 6-7 innings, you don't need Ross Stripling to do that, because you need your bullpen to work at some point.
Absolutely.
I'm cautiously optimistic right now with the team. I don't like how many one-run games they've been in. Yesterday sort of felt like a turning point. They sort of, with the grand slam by Bichette, finally getting him off and running. But it's sort of like you don't want to be playing these tight games in April. You sort of want to, I don't know, maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. It just feels too intense for me to be April.
I mean, I kind of go the other way with that, to be honest. Like, I know it's April ball. It's still really early. The season's so long. But, you know, you see a team being able to clutch out these one-run games and tight games. I feel it's building towards bigger and better things throughout the season. You build a lot of confidence. You kind of get that, I don't want to say bunker mentality, but, like, you get that togetherness really quick that way. And I know it's such a long season. There's so many games, and there's going to be times where they go on runs up and runs down. But if you're chalking up those one-run wins now, I think at least, is going to build confidence towards the rest of the year. What were your thoughts, Dan?
I think it's going to help guys that are – a couple guys are struggling right now. Like, even Kevin Biggio just went to the COVID list, right? And hopefully it gives him time to, you know, get his bat working. And it's almost like throughout all of baseball where the pitching is actually ahead of the batting right now. No one's like doing that great. So It could just lead to, you know, we're on pace, I believe, with the Twins record breaking home run year, I believe. And so, why not? Could lead to a great year that way. So the Jays are in a tight one right now. So,
yeah, and I really like guys stepping up, like these Espinal, like these guys that you've never heard of. Like even the trade, we traded Reese McGuire for Zach Collins, and he has 3 home runs. Like just a guy that the White Sox wanted to get rid of, and all of a sudden comes in and does his job. Jordan Romano, really good story from Markham, Ontario.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he finally blew a save. I think it was 28 straight he had saved from last year and this year. But
what's your confidence level in him, Drew?
Well, I've got all the confidence in the world. If we had more time to go over baseball, I'd go in on these stupid extra inning rules. Like starting an inning with a guy on second base is not fair to the pitchers.
Yeah,
it sort of reminds me of the college football overtime rules where they start each team on the 30 yard line or something.
Yeah.
And it just seems dumb. Yeah, like so you bring in Ramon, he throws one bad pitch and the game's over because there's already a guy on base. So I still have confidence with him. He's throwing 97 to 99 miles an hour with a nasty slider. He's got all the skills.
For sure.
So
what I heard as well is that specific baseball park, that's the only place it would have gone out, that home run. I'm not sure if it was that home run or a different one I'm talking about, but I'm pretty sure it was that one. So
that one's to dead center. So usually dead center home runs should go out anywhere else.
Well, so maybe I'm wrong. There was a home run. There was a big home run within that series where that park only.
Yeah. Got a... Oh yeah. Cause the left field, bleachers are in quite really a bit.
Short. Yeah.
Really yeah. Espinal hit one. Like it looked like a lazy fly ball and it went out to left field there.
Beauty. All right, coach, move it along.
Yeah. I got you. So good stuff with the Jays. Hockey playoffs, it's really weird that playoffs didn't really feel like they started yet. Like they feel like they should be ready to go, but still got coming up a couple games still. Flames, Oilers, and Leafs. Those are the Canadian teams representing. Do any of them stand a chance this year of lifting Lord Stanley's Cup?
I don't even want to talk about it. Like, I know you guys are looking... I know you guys are looking to me to talk about the Canadian hockey teams, but I'm not even going to touch the Leafs. I'm just going to talk about the Flames and the Oilers they don't have any chance of winning. So that's it.
None?
You don't think there could be some Connor McDavid magic come playoff time?
When you get to the playoffs, it's all about goaltending. That's all. Like, every year there's a goalie that steps up. And do you guys even know who the starting goalie on Edmonton is? Like,
no.
No, not in a million years. You would guess Koskinen. So there's no way.
Shoot, I had it.
Yeah, had it.
Couldn't Google that fast enough.
The Flames have the better of the two goalies, but like I know I don't want to talk about the Leafs, but the Leafs have one of the best goalies in the league this year.
Come on, he's the Leafs.
In line to win the Vezina. Auston Matthews just scored his 59th and 60th goal tonight.
Look at their blue line depth, Drew. They got blue line depth.
Mark Giordano, I love it. The Leafs have the best shot out of all of them.
There it is. That's what we've been baiting you for. Come on.
But it's all set up for Boston and the Leafs to maybe see each other in the first round. So,
but they've been killing Boston in the regular season this year.
And their last game of the season is against Boston. So I'm excited to see that game and see what happens.
My favorite time of the year for hockey is playoff hockey. It's just a whole another level. I think the game gets significantly better. And I'm always excited. Not that I'm super invested in it, but I'm excited to watch. If you put it on with the basketball going at the same time, it's just something's different about playoff hockey, and I really enjoy it. Let's flip on to the playoffs in the NBA. Lots to talk about here. Celtics swept Brooklyn. I don't think any one of us is upset by that, to be honest. I think we're all okay with that.
I'm not.
Dan, why don't you go first?
I hate Boston. I don't care how much I hate the... Usually I'm always underdog, but it's Boston, so I always hate them. I'm not happy that they swept Brooklyn. Also because they're just a tough matchup if any team that I want to play will play them. So... I don't want to say anything right now. All right. Don't want to say anything right now, but, no, absolutely big props to Jason Tatum and, Jaylen Brown both, but Jason Tatum just has taken that next level. It's almost like he's taken the mantle from KD. And, that's surprising because I did not expect that. Vegas had Brooklyn winning the championship. They had Brooklyn and the Lakers winning the championship, the top two teams. And Suns and Bucks were right there as well. But amazing that they were swept. They are the most disappointing team, probably. No, I wouldn't say of all time, but they're massively.
Since the 04 Lakers, 03, 04 Lakers.
Well, no, the Lakers this year were just as disappointing.
Yeah, but the team with Kobe, Shaq, Gary Payton, Karl Malone.
Oh, no. Sorry. The 04,
that's a very
point. But they made it to the finals still.
Yeah, but they lost to Detroit.
Yeah.
With a bunch of nobodies.
Wow.
Anyways. Nobodies? Come on. Chauncey Billups.
Sheed. Come on, man.
Big Bang
Hall of Famer.
All right.
I love that starting five from Detroit that year.
Tayshaun.
Rip Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
And?
That's it. That's the starting five.
Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed Wallace, and Ben Wallace.
You guys didn't say Rasheed.
Yeah, he said Sheed.
Okay. All right. I take it back. What do you guys – obviously, Kyrie not playing throughout the year was a distraction. I heard Stephen A. Smith go off on Kyrie and his unreliability. But do you think which is the bigger distraction in the last couple of weeks? The Ben Simmons deal? When he was supposed to come back and play, or the whole Kyrie situation? Drew, your thoughts on that?
By far the Ben Simmons. Like,
yeah.
I think it's a total distraction. When Kyrie was on the floor, he's the best player on that team.
Yeah.
And it wasn't his fault that he was off the floor either, right? Like he made a personal choice, he stuck to it when he was given the opportunity to play. He succeeded. Ben Simmons, for all we know, has every opportunity to play right now. Like, we have no idea what's going on. He was supposed to come back and did it. Like, I saw a post the other day, like, he has no competitive fire. Like, it looks like he has no competitive fire. If this was Michael Jordan, can you imagine?
No, not in the middle.
Having this reason for coming back, for not coming back. What is it? Competition reconditioning or something? Yeah. That's what I'm looking at on the score app.
They did say he has a back injury. But then they have him have videos of him dunking and looking fine. So it's all debatable for sure.
I get it's debatable. I will say this, and I think my stance has been consistent throughout this. I respect Kyrie for the stance he took, even though I'm not a big fan of him as a person and as a player. I respect him for the stance that he took. I think it's really irresponsible for the mainstream media, like guys like Stephen A. Smith, to try and use, you know, his decision to stand up for his rights as the reason why the Nets lost. The reason why the Nets lost is because Ben Simmons didn't play. Durant played like garbage for 3 out of 4 games. And they couldn't rebound.
And their coaching is a rookie and clearly didn't have a proper game plan. They're just running Durant into the ground. How do they let Boston have set defense every single possession?
Well, hey, I'm pretty sure Boston's coach is a rookie too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he's at least been an assistant.
Brooklyn needed their coach to be out there on the floor pushing the offense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he could have just suited up for a bit.
They have D'Antoni as an assistant. Like, run the 7-second offense. How hard is that?
But you got to also wonder, like, what's the pushback from Durant and Kyrie? In the press conference, Kyrie's like, yeah, me and Kevin will manage this team along with Sean Marks and blah, 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 blah. Like, he didn't talk about Nash at all.
But they released a statement saying Nash is safe. So,
yeah, but that doesn't matter. Like, if you went to your high school coach and you're like, you're a dumb, I'm just gonna do whatever I want. I know, that's why I used you as the example. That's not gonna, you know, if your team isn't gonna coalesce and win championships that way, right? Like, you have to be on the same page. Yeah, but this is we're talking about AA high school. Okay, calm down.
AAA. AAA.
Zion is looking good, but refuses to play basketball. You think his time with the Pelicans is done?
Yes, I think so. The fact that he's putting out videos, dunking between the legs, and then the team not seeing eye to eye if he's ready to play in a playoff series where they're playing right now, they could be up 3-2 by the end of the night. Is absolutely ridiculous. Give him 20 minutes then. Put him on a minutes restriction just to help the team get over the hump.
Well, it sort of feels like the Ben Simmons situation, doesn't it? A little bit.
But it seems like Zion wants to play. The media made it sound like he doesn't, but it's actually the opposite. He said he wants to play. The Pelicans organization said no.
I don't know how much I believe of that, because why wouldn't you be? With Brendan Ingram playing the way he's playing, with the chance to knock off the Suns without Booker, like, even if he plays 15 minutes.
15, 20. Right,
that's enough time to drag away guys, get some guys in foul trouble, and whatever, right? So it's hard to say, and this is with any sort of athlete story, and saying he said, they said, right? Like, what's the actual truth, right?
Sorry, just to interrupt you guys. The Blue Jays were down 5-2 at the bottom of the ninth. It's now tied. End of the ninth.
Beauty.
Come on.
Beauty.
Now. Let's go, Jays.
So when people watch this later, they already know the score. So
yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Great. Still exciting.
Let's flip to the hometown raps here. Game 6, Thursday. Improbable game 6, I would feel like saying. What are your thoughts? Drew, if you had to pick a winner, you probably didn't watch a lot of this, but like, if you had to pick a winner.
I actually did watch the last game.
Hey, there you go.
I thought the Raptors' defense was just like, looked like it was suffocating them. So my favorite play of the game was when Precious went up and just totally blocked Embiid at the rim. And then they went down the other way and OG hit the 3-pointer. But I think if they can stay committed to playing that kind of defense, you hold this team to 83 points, like not incredible. Like you're not, or 88 point, you're not going to do that again. But if you can hold them under 100 or close to, you're gonna force a game seven, I think, at least.
Yeah, Alvin Williams say if you keep him on 100, 102, you got a good chance. And they played amazing. Dan, I was watching this game the other night, and it felt like the game we watched the second last game of the regular season when the 76ers came into town and the defense just suffocated them and Siakam balled out. What are your thoughts coming to game six and the chances of taking a dub in this one?
Yeah, I think it took a few games for them to figure out how to contain the Tyrese Maxey, Harden, Embiid combo, but they figured it out. They have Tobias Harris as well, but they've contained him for most of his career. I think that the Raptors just have to keep healthy. Scotty Barnes is making such a great impact with pushing the pace. And that's the thing we got to hammer down on, is the Raptors control the pace of the game. The James Harden running the show is not the James Harden of old. He's not controlling the Philly pace. They are getting pushed, I think, faster than what they're used to. Embiid looks exhausted by the end of the game. And a lot of it comes down to the whistle, because, hey, the first two games, you saw the whistle discrepancy. They were also missing Scotty Barnes for the last quarter of game one and all of game two, and pretty much Gary Trent for both games. That makes a huge difference, right? So game six, are you kidding me? At home, Raps are going to slap them. It's going to be a slapping is what I'm saying.
Wow, that's bold.
Yeah.
That is bold. I like it.
Game seven is a different story, but.
Potentially. Do you guys think Embiid's got enough in the tank? Doc is playing a lot of minutes. He looked bad in that fourth quarter.
Everyone in Philly looked like they just didn't have the energy to push the pace at all. Like they wanted to play really slow. I've never seen James Harden play that slow before.
Yeah.
Even fat James Harden moved a little bit faster.
Yeah. So, yeah, like the most electrifying player that I saw out there for Philly was Danny Green. Like he was the one bringing all the energy.
100%. Danny Green's not going to give you 15 again either. So
no.
And I can hear the excuses already, though. The Embiid thumb, James Harden's hamstring, blah, 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 blah. It's excuse central.
Well, I think as we wrapped up this section, my favorite part is Shaq calling for a Philly sweep and him being completely wrong. He clearly hasn't watched any Raptors games at all this year. Let's go to commercial. It's me this time. Train to Invest, www.traintoinvest.com. train2invest.com. If you're looking to find a way to earn extra income, plan for your retirement, any sort of financial planning that you want to do on your own, and you're tired of having, you know, your banker or your broker take that extra money from you, check us out. Download a free ebook. Learn that you can do this on your own with a little bit of guidance. And just like learning any new skill, it just takes a bit of somebody to teach you. So www.train2invest.com. Check us out. Birdie versus Bogey.
All right, let's go. I just had the Indian trap music playing. Shout out, Joel. And we got a little bit of fun for you guys today. Birdie versus Bogey. Basically, I'm going to give you guys a topic, and you're going to rank it according to the best golf score to the worst golf score of what you feel about that topic. And that's pretty simple. Are there any questions? Okay.
I like it. Let's go.
You guys ready? You guys will rotate answering first. I'll get Joel to answer first, and then so Drew, sure, for the second question, you answer first. Ready? Okay. Birdie versus Bogey. We got Baker Mayfield will be a starting quarterback on an NFL team to start this upcoming season.
Ooh, I'm going with par on that one. He's going to be somewhere. I don't know where. But I think somebody's going to make a trade after the draft or on draft night to move Baker Mayfield. That's my thoughts on that.
I'm going to go with Bogey. I don't think he will be start. I think he'll be on a different team, but he'll go somewhere where there'll be competition for the QB spot.
Ooh, I'm going to go par. I think, no, I'm going to go birdie because I think he will be the starting quarterback of some team, some desperate team, maybe the Steelers, or maybe he's going to force his way out is what I'm trying to say. They might have to cut him. So who knows? Who knows? Question number two. The Montreal Canadiens crowd, they honored Guy Lafleur with a touching 10-minute ovation. For those of you who don't know, Guy Lafleur wore the number 10. What are your thoughts?
Birdie. It's awesome. He's one of the most iconic players ever in the NHL. His hair, he played back when they didn't wear helmets. You can still picture his hair flapping in the wind. So that's very touching. That might have felt a little awkward, 10 minutes, but it's a long time. But yeah, definitely Birdie.
Yeah, I'll go with Birdie as well. Guy Lafleur, major impact in the NHL and the Canadiens overall. Seems like a very simple thing to clap for 10 minutes, but I think it meant probably a lot to his family. But like you said, I would have given this something a little higher, but 10 minutes is a long time.
That's why I'm giving it a par because of that length. I think it's a great gesture, but 10 minutes, like 10 minutes. How much did they give Jesus? Just saying.
I'm going to clap for Jesus.
Just saying. Crucified. Number three, Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers has a career best in points this season and will win the Hart Trophy, which is the MVP of the NHL regular season.
Bogey, I don't care. For me, it's all about championships.
No, that's not the question.
I don't care. That's what I'm saying. I don't care. It's a bogey. I don't care. That's my, that's, you're asking me, he's going to, if he wins it, great. But I don't care.
I'm giving it a bogey as well because he's not going to win, though. That's my reasoning.
Thank you. That's a proper reasoning. Who's going to win?
I think it's either Jonathan Huberdeau or Austin Matthews. Their teams are in better standings. Connor McDavid plays with another top four scorer in the league on his line. I want it to be Matthews. I think it'll be Huberdeau. The Panthers have been the best team wall-to-wall in the NHL, and no one's ever heard of him. And he has 85 assists this year.
Ooh. What nationality is he?
He's Canadian.
Okay. I'll give it a birdie because I just think he's going to win it. I don't know much about hockey, though, so that's just my reasoning. I think
85 assists.
What's his points total?
115. Wow. So 30 goals.
So McDavid has like 1 or 2 points more than him. That's it?
He has 118.
118, yeah. Okay. Okay, next one. Biden calls on the commissioner of the NHL, all right? And he says, Gary Batman. I'll just leave it at that.
I want to thank Commissioner Gary Batman and for being here as well. And at the risk of stating the obvious here, it's a pretty good time to be in a sports.
I think Drew's turn.
A double bogey. Maybe a triple bogey.
Okay, I'm going to go the exact opposite. I'm going to call this an eagle.
Albatross.
For those schmucks who voted for Biden in the first place, this is what you get. And Gary Bettman, no one likes him at all for obvious reasons. So to trash him and Biden the same clip, beautiful. I love it.
He's calling him Batman. That's like an upgrade.
I know, because Sleepy Joe has no idea where he is. He probably misread the card.
I really think he thought he was Batman. That's what I think. I'm giving him a double bogey. You guys got to watch the rest of that interview. I made a post on the Batman thing on our Instagram, so you can check that out. It might be gone by now, but who knows. Next one. Saturday, April 23rd, I believe it was, between the Yankees and the Guardians, which is still a very weird name for a baseball team. Yankees stupid fans name. Throw garbage at the Guardians after Torres's walk-off hit.
Par. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't care. I would have cared if it was thrown at anyone but the Guardians, because that's such a dumb name. Like, just call yourself the Cleveland baseball team. Be done with it.
Yeah, Guardians is a great name.
I'm giving that a double bogey, because it definitely shows the state of New York right now, like the state of New York City. It's like crime central. Like, it literally is Gotham City right now, and this is what is okay with at their stadium. So just kind of shows what's going on there. All right, next up. All right, Joel, I'm going to say this as best as I can, okay? Bayern Munich clinched their 10th straight Bundesliga title, beating Dortmund.
Bogey. Don't care.
You pronounce everything correctly, but I'm giving it a bogey.
Bayern München.
They were slated to win at the beginning of the year. They've won forever. Like, it was, they lost Champions League, which is a way bigger story than this. So, yeah, I don't care.
Same here. Bogey, don't care. Alphonso Davies didn't play. Let's go. Okay, I got one more. Well, I got a few more, but I'll just do one more.
Yeah.
There has been three people trying to protest during the Memphis versus Minnesota NBA playoff series. One woman tried to superglue herself to the floor. One woman handcuffed her arm to the hoop. The last woman got tackled instantly as she made it on the floor. Researching this, it took me a little while to figure out what their protest was about, but my conclusion is that they are protesting the death of 6 million. 6 million plus chickens that are consumed by Americans. Don't make me repeat all that. This is real.
This is real?
This is real. This happened. I didn't even point out that they were all women and white women. I did now, I guess.
You didn't point that out?
No.
You sure?
It's Joel's turn first, so.
No, I mean, like, I give another eagle because A, I find it hilarious. Because all three times were different ways of doing it, but still didn't get the point across. I had no idea until this very moment what they were protesting. And it's just funny because, like, Memphis, I just think barbecue. I just think barbecue. You barbecue a chicken and or go for chicken wings. Like, I think it's amazing. So I would give it an eagle for interest and hilarity purposes, a triple bogey for actual effectiveness.
So you're par.
Yeah, I didn't hear about any of it. I didn't. So I don't know, par, bogey, whatever you want.
I'm gonna give it a double bogey. A, because the woman who tried to use, like, glue, I wonder if she used, like, that Almer's children's glue, because she, like, didn't even stick. Like, it was, like, 2 seconds where she was on the floor, and they just picked her up.
You gotta have a contact for a good 10 minutes.
You don't know how much research I had to do to actually find out what I think is what they were protesting.
And what does gluing yourself to the floor, like, how is that going to stop people from eating chicken?
I'm not sure, but pause the game.
Makes no sense.
It really gives people more time to go get the chicken.
There's a pause in the game, perfect time to go get some chicken.
If I was an announcer, chicken, I would have said, all right, we're going to take a 5-minute chicken break. Let's go.
Popeyes. Let's get Popeyes as a sponsor.
Oh, baby. Ooh. Chicken sandwiches for all.
All right. Spicy chicken sandwich.
Guys, that's it for Birdie versus Bogey. Thank you for playing. Time for a commercial. It's my turn, I guess. It's Urban Hope, near and dear to my heart. It's a program I got to start, which is a mentorship program with kids and youth. It's kids helping kids. Just got an amazing report from Canada Summer Jobs. We got 8 interns that are going to be starting with Urban Hope. And all that's going to go towards helping our summer camps and our other kids programs and our youth programs. And the coach, yeah, he himself is coaching our basketball program. And he's actually got some pretty talented kids to work with, unlike us schmucks that he had a coach growing up. Lefty Drew over there and myself, No Hop Dan. And yeah, these guys can play, but they don't have the opportunity to play at that next level. And that's what we're going to provide for them. And if you want to give in any sort of way, check out sportsrevenues.com/our sponsors page. You'll see everywhere you can give and all the discounts you can get as well. So that's that.
Beauty. Now, see, everybody, those are the real nicknames that were floating around there. Lefty Drew and No Hop Dan. Final segment for today's pod. A good question you posed, Dan, was what is one aspect of playing or coaching or watching sports that has helped strengthen your own personal faith? Whether it's something you experienced, something you watched in the past, or something you've seen more recently. Let's start with you, Drew.
It's sports has always been one of those things where it's like it really just teaches you, like, when you're down, you get back up, right? And I think in especially during these last couple of years of struggling through, you know, COVID and the pandemic and stuff, and really getting down, especially in the church when we had to close the doors and stuff, we didn't give up. We got back up. We kept doing services the way we could. And and now I think God has been rewarding us. Our church is actually on Easter Sunday, we had 84 people, which is the most we've had since we've even been in Selkirk. And hand clap. But just sticking with it, not giving up. When you're down, you're never out. So, yeah, those are the things that sports teach you and have stuck with me.
Yeah, perseverance, very key aspect to personal growth. Dan, how about yourself?
Yeah, for me, it was something that stuck out is if you look at the playoffs that are going on today in the NBA, you see teams that are working, that are doing better, are the teams that have been around for a long time. They've been a cohesive unit for a long time. You look at Boston, you look at the Raptors, you look at the Suns and the Jazz and those kind of teams that are competing at a high level because they've been together for a long time. And that theme of teamwork has been on my heart, and even teamwork at persevering and teamwork at the church when the doors had to close, and teamwork with you guys doing this pod. I did a short episode myself, and it's just not the same. It's really not. Need you boys. And knowing that you can have, you know, brothers in arms that believe and share the same values as you, which are the biblical truths, to pick you up when you're struggling, when you go astray, they'll call you out on it. You know, there's something special about that and that kind of community. So that's what I'd say sports have taught me.
Yeah, continuity is a big thing, and teamwork is a big thing as well. So yeah, definitely something that ties into also pandemic time as well. So that's awesome. I'll give you guys a little anecdote from my life. Grade 12, we're playing volleyball. We're in a game, and Tim Bach is just crushing these serves. And the other team is definitely weaker than us. And Tim, I think, went on a streak of like 12 points in a row, like just aces. And so obviously the other team is very demoralized. And then he served it out of bounds on purpose. He was very smart, made it look like it was going to be close, but he served it out of bounds on purpose. And after the game, I remember this because Mark Glor came, we had our little post-game chat, and Mark Glor, who was our coach at the time, was livid. He was just absolutely livid, even though we won the game by Tim serving out of bounds. He didn't respect his opponents, and that's one thing I've seen in sports and in our culture is, you know, when we're playing sports or being competitive, we're not giving our best, right? Kyrie flipping the bird to Boston to the fans. That's not respecting your. That's not respecting the fans. The fans are going to say whatever they're going to say. You're getting paid millions of dollars. This is just what you have to deal with. And of course, there's lines that can't be crossed. We get that. But as a professional athlete, if somebody's swearing at you, you deal with it. As a player, you want to give your best. You want to make sure you're in shape. You're coming into training camp in the best shape possible. And we referenced Michael Jordan already. Like, we all watched The Last Dance, and of course he was harsh, but he was pushing his team because he wanted them to be ready at the end of the day. And then respect for your coaches. These people are put in a position of authority for a reason. And that's something that and I was at first, you know, when Mark Glor was talking about this, I was like, yeah, you know, but like they were really down and whatever, but they're not going to get better if we take it easy on them. And then thinking back through my entire life, there's been many teams where I was like the 12th guy on the bench and I didn't get better because I wouldn't have gotten better unless I was pushed. Right. So respect and giving your all is kind of something that really stuck with me in my faith journey. And how this ties into my faith is when I'm feeling down or I'm not feeling like God's with me, respect what God's done in your life in the past. Look back and say, okay, there's 1,000 things that could have gone wrong, but God moved to make it go right. Respect what he's done in the past because he'll take care of you in the future. So that's what stuck with me.
That's nice. That's nice. Okay, quick scenario. Because Drew, I think, was in grade 9 and 10. I don't know if it was his teams or if it was the girls' team. But at some point, they were playing the deaf school in volleyball. And I don't know if it was Drew's team in junior varsity or if it was the girls' team. I'm pretty sure it's the girls' team. And this one girl served 25 times in a row.
Yeah.
Would you guys do that?
100%. 100%.
Drew.
There's no way.
What about you?
Not. Yeah, I probably would. I don't know.
I would miss. I know I'd miss after some point, but 25 times in a row.
I don't think I'm capable of doing it. I would if I could.
Okay. I just had to point
out. I don't care who I'm playing. I want to win.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a killer there.
I guess so.
What about compassion?
What about compassion? I give him compassion after the game. I would need to learn sign language, but...
All right, my friends, that's a wrap for the Sports Reverends this week. We hope you can follow us on all social medias. Follow us, like us, share the link, make a comment in the comment section. And hey,
get engaged.
Get on Twitter. Get on Twitter because Elon has taken over. And we can now speak our truths with no worries. So let's go. Let's all tweet at each other. All right? Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Peace out. There we go.
Peace.